The title of our Sunday school lesson today is The Tortures of Hell. And our devotional and background study comes from Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Our lesson today is entitled The Tortures of Hell, and it comes from the 16th chapter of Luke, verses 19 through 24. Now, everybody's familiar with this reading. And this is Jesus speaking here. And in most of the parables that you find in the Bible, they don't use anybody's name. But here, for some reason, there's a name associated with what he's telling. So it kind of makes me think that this may not be a parable. This may be an actual event that Jesus is aware of. I mean, I don't know that. It's just something that he's putting out here for the people. But he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now we have a description here of hell as described by Jesus himself. Now, what is so unique about this is that in life you see that there was one man who was extremely rich, had all the wealth and everything that he needed in this life. And by contrast, you have the beggar, Lazarus, who had no really earthly possessions of any sort except maybe the clothes on his back, and had no means or ways of feeding himself. Consequently, he had to beg for even the bread that he had to eat. So we have these two diverse cultures here, one extremely wealthy, one extremely poor. But notice that when the time came and the call came and they died, how quickly the roles were reversed. Now, why do you think that was? Well, obviously, we know that Lazarus was a saved individual. Somewhere along the line, as poor as what he was, he heard a message somewhere, he sought after God, and was saved. And the rich man, now what did he do? He put all his efforts and all his worldly thoughts and the process of living that he went through and put it into his wealth and what he could obtain and what he had. And he had everything in this world that he could desire. And the problem is that we find from this right here that we all, the whole world, not just us sitting here, but we all have a choice of who we can follow. Or we have a choice in this life of how we want to live our life. Everybody has a choice. If you go over into Joshua and the 24th chapter and the 15th verse, this is Joshua, and he's talking to the people, to the Israelites, and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." See, you have a choice. Now Joshua said he was going to choose to serve the Lord, but he said you can choose to serve whoever you want to. But for me and my house, we're going to choose the Lord. So everybody in this world has a choice. The rich man chose to dwell his whole life on his riches and what he could gain. Lazarus may have been a poor guy, but he was a poor man, but he was rich in his heart, in what he had in his heart. And so the choice today is, who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow manna of the world, or the riches of this world, or this life? Or are we going to follow after God? Now, you don't have to be dirt poor to choose to follow God. That's not what I'm saying. The rich man, when I say he had a choice, he could have chosen God. He could have. And that doesn't mean he'd have to give up all his riches. There's nothing here that says that. And there's nothing here that says he was a bad person. He may have been good, a good person. And he may have been friends to everybody. But the problem is, he didn't know God. And he chose not to. Now, whose fault is this? Is this God's fault? I don't think so. I think it's the rich man's fault. Because he chose his own path. Now, it goes on to say, well, wait a minute, let me back up here just a minute. This is a thought process I had. This is talking about hell. This is something serious here. And since during my lifetime, I can see that there has been a dumbing down of hell. More and more, as the years go by, less and less people believe in hell. I used to hear it more often than now. Back when I was working, and we'd get in discussions about, you know, heaven and hell. I've had people tell me that God is a God of love, and that He would never, ever send any one of His creation to hell. Well, I don't know that He has ever really just personally sent anybody to hell. It's, here we go back to choice. You made this choice. And He has prepared a place called hell that's fire and brimstone, and it's just an awful place to go. But He made that for the devil and his angels. That's what He created it for. But the problem is that those who have not sought Him out and found Him everlasting to their soul are one day, when they leave this world, are going to be poured off into hell just like this rich man. Now, there are people out there by the droves that don't believe it. They don't believe that there's a hell. people would rather focus their attentions on their feelings and on their attitudes. And I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel good about my religion. I want to feel good, and I want to have an upbeat attitude, and I don't want you to cloud this up with this place called hell. Now, to be quite honest, it's not a recent occurrence. The Catholics started a couple thousand years ago. They found a great way to increase the coffers of their church was by creating an intermediate place, purgatory. I mean, that softened hell. That softened you being cast off into hell. They began teaching that, well, okay, so when you die, you may not have to go directly to hell. You can go to this other place, this place called purgatory. And there you can languish, but you know, if you've got enough funds, if you've got enough prayers on your behalf, you can get out of there and go to heaven. It was a huge money-making scheme for Catholicism. So it's not a new issue, this softening of hell, because it's been around for years. But I'm just saying, in my lifetime, it just seems to be that more and more people, I'm not even talking about in Catholicism and their ranks, but in the Protestant ranks, in the mainstream Christian churches, as they're called today, that this place called hell is no longer presented as a real place. And that's frightful when you think the world is losing sight of a place of eternal torment. And I believe with all my heart this is a real place. Now, you find that in the 24th verse where I read, he said, the rich man said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you go over into the 14th chapter of Revelation, and the 11th verse, and it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The smoke of their torment. Now, this is another good description. They have rest neither day nor night for all who are down there. And the smoke of their torment, which is what we just read, I am tormented in this flame. Now, I was reading this thing, and it said, this man said, I believe there is a hell, but I don't believe that it's any fire there. Well, then, why are they talking about fire in the Bible? I mean, how can you sit there and say, I've read the Bible, I believe there's a hell, but I don't believe there's any fire there. And then you have these people talking about this flame down there. So, you know, you get all of these attitudes and these thought processes about what hell really is, because people would rather focus on God's love and generosity than they had and gain earthly peace from that, from this thought process, than they had through the belief that God would harm his creation. And the scriptures are plain about this. Two things are going to happen, or are yet to happen. And you find that the rich man, when he died, he went to hell. And it's not just him. I mean, it's all the unbelievers are in hell, or will be in hell. And the other thing is, in Peter's writing, he talks about this world being completely destroyed. And he makes a good description of it. And he talks about all the noise and everything that's going to be associated with this earth burning completely up. That's why we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, because this one's going to be totally destroyed. And that's just as real as hell. Just as real as hell, just as real as heaven. Now, we have a choice today. Which one do you prefer? You prefer hell or heaven? That's the choice that you've got, because this earth is going to be destroyed. There's two places that we're going to spend eternity. And I don't even know that I can explain eternity to you. I don't think I can explain eternity. Well, I know I can explain eternity. We've spent our whole life locked to a clock. And the scriptures talk about that, the sun and the moon, and it's for our benefit. But we spent all our life locked to time. And God created that. He gave us the time. But to think of the fact there is no time. No time. I don't even understand that. I don't have a clue what that means, that there is no time. But one of these days, I'm going to know what that means. Because it says here, and what I just read in Revelations, it says, and the smoke of their torment. And I'm going to tell you, I think I know what this smoke is that it's referencing right here. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. I believe that when you're in hell, you will pray, I was going to say night and day. Now see, that's where I'm tied to time at. I was going to say, I believe they pray night and day. I can't say that. I can't even say they pray 24 hours a day, because that ain't going to be no more. That ain't going to be that way. But these people will be praying forever and ever to get out of this place of torment. Now you think about that. And you think about somebody that you know, that you think might be lost, and what there is out there in front for them. It's not a pretty picture. And no matter what people say, they can deny it all they want, but that's not going to change a thing. It might ease their mind, it might ease their thought process. But when that time comes, the scriptures describe it and says that there'll be people running to and fro and praying, and the mountains will fall on them, cover them up from the pain and the suffering that is about to come on them. And it'll be too late. It'll be too late. There's coming a time when it's going to be too late. And those people are going to be sent into a place of eternal eternal misery and suffering. The Bible says, for the worm or the maggot dieth not. Now, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine how there'll be pain, that much pain and suffering. But you won't die. There's no death. I can't understand that. But you know, in the book of Hosea, in the 5th chapter of Hosea, and the 6th, no, in the 4th chapter, in the 4th chapter, and the 6th verse, this is the prophet Hosea saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How true that is. It seems like people are more and more unafraid, more and more. They don't care. They just get to a place where it just seems like they don't care. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because that thou hast rejected knowledge. Rejection. I reject the thought that there is a hell. I reject that. Because I don't believe God would send anybody off into an eternal hell. Let me read you something else. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, and this is Jesus again speaking, and the 34th verse. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Think not. Don't you think I've come to send peace on earth? That's what he's saying. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. So, what happened to this love that God is supposed to present to his people? When Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace," what did he come for? He came to die a most miserable death on the cross. Yes, because he loved us. There is a godly love there beyond all reckoning. But that wasn't the only thing he came for. He came to put at odds people, the believers against the unbelievers. And his message was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, "I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household." Now that's how serious this message is that Jesus has brought to this world, that it can split households between believers and non-believers. But I'm telling you what, if you could just get people to understand what hell looks like and what hell is going to be like, I think you would have more people coming to that point where they realize that something needs to be done to avoid this place. But it seems like not only is the world changing, but it seems like even some of our preachers have kind of backed off about hellfire and brimstone. It just seems like it's just not as prevalent as it was when I was a younger boy. And I don't know why that is. But it just seems that way. And less people are being saved. And I think it's because more and more people are hardening their hearts against what the scriptures say. And they're wanting to sugarcoat the scriptures. And I know that there are churches out there, not necessarily pointing out to our church, but there are churches out there that would try to enlarge their congregation with sermons that the congregation wants to hear. And if you want to hear about feeling good about yourself, if you want to hear about having a better attitude or making more money or whatever it is that you want, there's churches out there that can provide that. But we need to be out there providing a service to these people, informing them that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain in this life here, because after this life is over, it's over. And there'll be no more time. There'll be no more opportunities for you to follow. So when you read something like this, it brings to mind the fear that I felt when I was lost. And you know what that fear was? It was a fear of eternal damnation. That's exactly what it was. It was a fear, because I remember thinking this when it hit me, that if something doesn't happen to hell soon, I'm going to go to hell. I knew that. Sonny, I thought that as a young boy. That if I don't do something right now, I'm going to wind up in hell. And that scared me absolutely to death, because I believe there was a hell. And I still do today. I still believe there is a hell. And I don't think it's changed one bit from the time that God created it for Satan and his angels. Now, Satan is running around here today laughing having a good old time deceiving people, whatever he's out there doing. You know, God asked him what he was doing. He said he was going running to and fro. And I think that's in Job. He said, I'm running to and fro seeking who I can devour. That's what he's doing today. But one day, there'll come a time when I don't care how strong you think Satan is today. God is going to pluck him up and cast him down into hell, and he will never get out of there. He'll never be seen again. And if you don't think that power that God has is frightening, then something's wrong. But that's what I felt. You know, the scriptures say repent. And the only way that you can repent, I believe, the only way you can be repent is to fear something that you have no control of, that you need, and you know that you need God to help you shun this place, to get away from it. That's my message on hell. I just think that we are taking hell lightly, and I think that's a wrong stand for God's people to take. We don't hardly ever talk about it. We don't hardly ever mention it. We ought to be at a point that we get burdened for those that we get this fear inside of us that if they die, they'll go off into hell. I mean, that's what we ought to concentrate on, is thinking in our mind that these people are actually going to go to hell. This is not some fairy tale. And God is not backed up on this at all. There's no place in the scriptures that I see that he's, well, you know, maybe I've changed my mind. He ain't changed his mind at all. There's going to come a reckoning one of these days. And someday those who have chosen to follow Satan and evil over God, they'll have to pay the price for that choice that they make. And you think about the people that you know and your loved ones and the people that are in your family that are lost and out in sin. And some of these days, them paying the price for their condition and where they are. And that's an awful thought when you think about it. And think about hell. And hell is not a nice subject to talk about. But it's there, and it's real. And you can't ignore it and believe these scriptures. If you believe what this Bible says, you have to believe that there is a hell. You have to. It's too many times that it's talked about in here, and there's descriptions in here that describe it. You can't be ignorant of the fact that there is a hell to shun. Anyone have any questions or anything to say?
Well, just talk about where the burn, like the plants of it, if you want to die, burn. And Solomon and Mar, I think I had burn.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
And we hope we don't have to encounter this thing.
No. Well, we die, yeah.
And the hell, and the thing about burning, burn a piece of wood, it disappears. But if you go to hell, burn, you ain't gonna never
burn.
It is part of what you need.
And you know, people everywhere will talk about heaven and how. how wonderful heaven is going to be. And that's true. It is. It's going to be a wonderful place. I don't understand that either. I can't visualize it in my mind. You know, John the Revelator, when he looked over into heaven, it was so powerful. He couldn't even describe it. You know, you read what he's saying and you have no idea what he's talking about because he just couldn't describe it that well. But as firm a belief in heaven, you need a firm belief in hell too.
You have to.
That's right. It's essential. Exactly.
That's not that way to heaven if you don't know about it. Or you going after, or you trying to get rid of it. Or what you trying to show it. You know, people that always feel good church and pickle my ears and pickle my eyes and all that is to have no reason to diligently search it out. Because there's no fear of nothing back here.
Right. Exactly.
David said, I found trouble and sorrow.
That's right. And you know, Sonny, that's a good point. That's, David said, I found trouble and sorrow. I did too. I got the same experience. I found trouble and sorrow. Did you not find trouble and sorrow when
you had
God said it saved yourself?
You had to have it. It's part of it. If you don't have it, contrite heart, open heart, contrite spirit, you will get it.
That's right. And Billy, you just don't find that. You know, in these churches.
I don't really recall fear in hell when I got saved. But I know I got saved. But I think sometimes we thought more about hell, we'd try harder to tell people about it, Lord. And then it hit me while I sit here, it's like, well, maybe the reason why I don't think about hell so much is because people in my world reject him so much. And maybe I just can't handle the fact that they're going to end up in hell. You know, just to walk through life knowing that these people that I love are going to end up in hell. Because you can't force people. You know, you can't. Well, I mean, we would if we could, but we can't. And so, you know, maybe in our little humble minds, this is all we can handle. You know, I mean, if we really got down and deep into it, we could get pretty depressed. I know in my heart I say, well, we should get depressed because we should try harder. But it's just our human nature, I guess. I believe in hell with everything that I believe in heaven, but yet I don't let myself ponder on it near enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because I think that's the way most of us are. And, but it's a fact of life. There is a hell.
Right. It's there.
It's real. It's just as real as God is. It's just as real as heaven is. And there's no getting around it. None whatsoever. So the gospel is critical to this world. That people might hear. Let's remember we've got a tape this afternoon. Let's pray for that. That it go out. Because that can go out and reach a lot of people. A lot of people. Anyone else?
I like that last verse in that blessing you read. He said, if you send Lashon back to one of my five brothers, he might come to this place. And Abraham says, they have Moses and prophets. Let them hear them. That says a lot to me.
It does.
It puts the gospel right back in the Old Testament, just like it does.
It does. Anyone else?
Brother Bernard, I heard, I'm thinking about this. I heard Brother Cordell Ertz in this church one time. I can't remember if it was a testimony or when he was preaching. He said that house was on fire over there. Would you try and go over there and save somebody that was in that house? He said, if you have friends or loved ones that are lost, he said, their house is on fire.
That's true.
I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. I know we can't save them ourselves, but we can tell them.
Yeah. That's right. But the world as a whole has rejected that part of the gospel. Now, I mean, they may believe in God. And they may believe in heaven, but they totally reject the idea of hell. As a whole.
I don't
Well, you can't. If you don't believe in hell, you haven't accepted the gospel.
So therefore, they can't be saved unless they believe. First word is the last word of the Bible.
Right.
And God's gospel.
Right. Anyone else?
Well, it's just the fact that we're going to live until we die, and all of that. We've got to accept that we're going to live.
Well, that's a good point, Don. Yeah, that's an excellent point. We know we're going to die, but we don't dwell on it. Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?
I would like to say a lesson from one brought to this page to go with 11 o'clock service for the mayor.
Thank you.